Well, hello everybody and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show, streaming live from BBS in California, syndicating to over 100 stations globally. I'm delighted today to be joined by my guest, Stephanie Dumont. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. So this is an exciting day. I will share why in just a moment. Also, if you're dialing in for the first time or listening to this show or even watching the replay later, this is a show that is really about women. It's the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show featuring women typically who have risen from tragedy to triumph and are now out in the world using their gifts, their unique abilities to come together to do impactful work, either locally or globally. Now, in Stephanie's case, I'm going to read her official bio in just a moment. But if you haven't been on this show before, who am I? What am I all about? Why do I do this show? So my background as an executive coach for the past 12 years, leveraging on 20 years of senior HR roles, helping hundreds of people throughout the years, either with their careers or more recently, working with women entrepreneurs who are seeking to flourish. I love helping women expand, step into their greatest potential, and to be reaching for those things that they never thought possible by sharing tips, information, what I've noticed in the past 30 years of successful business, as I've worked with startups, 8 different startups that have launched and have been working as an international consultant and also working globally in 4 different countries. So all of this expertise comes together interviewing women entrepreneurs in particular, who are themselves making a difference. So today I'm with Stephanie. This is a show that I titled Irrepressible Optimism, because when I read her bio, you're going to understand exactly why I invited Stephanie to join me today. As an executive and transformational coach herself for the past 20 years, she's helped her clients' vision become their daily lives, from gold medal winning Olympic athletes to philanthropy driven CEOs, physicians, award winning artists, cutting edge professionals, and what she calls philanthropeneurs. That's a bit of a mouthful. Stephanie's coached pretty much all of them. She became recently certified as well in heart math, so as a certified trainer. So that's adding some additional tools and techniques to help clients change their physiology in less than 2 minutes. I said 2 minutes. Now, I want to hear about that a little bit more later as well. She's a catalyst who leads individuals and teams in professional and personal transformation and heart-driven leadership. So she co-founded Conscious and Carefree, a learning forum, a community dedicated to joy, contribution, and meaningful productivity. You want to grab a pen as we go through this interview, because I think there's going to be lots of insights, and we're going to share links how you can also stay in touch with Stephanie. And towards the end, we'll also be offering a couple of free gifts. So make sure you have your pen handy. Now, herself, she interviews thought leaders, facilitates socialpreneur masterminds, contributes articles to the media, and generally is sharing her principles to how to live what she calls a good life. I'm going to say a great life, because really, you know, good is okay, great is even better. So she does appear on various TV shows, The Awake Network TV, 52 Weeks to Living Conscious and Carefree, and is obviously a guest today on the podcast, because something exciting is happening today. We are looking at Stephanie's book launch. So she's launching her first volume, Yes First, Taking Action in Uncertain Times, which is going to be available on Amazon today. So we'll share more about that a little bit later. So Stephanie, I'm delighted that you could join me. Welcome.
Oh my gosh, Yvonne, thank you for that beautiful introduction. And you and I have so much in common, I realize, as I hear you share what your specialties are. I think we're going to find a lot of threads that we have that we share.
We do. Well, passionate about books in particular. Yes. My book hit bestseller overnight. I'm crossing my fingers that yours does too. Words, Women and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, is 40 different words and word concepts to help women elevate their language. So women can have more powerful language, not powerful in case of, you know, creating resistance, powerful because it's the effective use of silence. It's the use of powerful statements and questions, open-ended questions, and stating how you're actually getting your evidence, your value shared in ways that don't feel like bragging. They're simply stating facts. So having interviewed and hired about 6,000 people in my career and then coaching for 12 years, I've asked a lot of questions, and that's the essence of what's in the book, how women can ask those questions too and have more powerful results. Enough about my book, though. This is about what's coming up for you. So I was so intrigued when I read the backstory. You had an interesting childhood growing up. So why don't we start there, just to put things in context? How did your early life impact who you are today?
Well, my early life, it wasn't, it was great, and it wasn't always easy. My parents went through a pretty challenging divorce when I was a youngster. I think my father was had moved out of the house when I was about 8 years old. And then at about the age of 10, they were on the verge of getting remarried. So he moved back in, and then it fell a week before the wedding, it fell apart. And so I feel like I kind of went through a tragic divorce twice. As a young person.
Right.
My dad moved out. My mom worked a couple of jobs. She wanted us to stay in our house and have stability. And so at a very young age, I'm extremely ambitious. And I had an older brother about 4 years older than me. And he started preparing newspapers for a newspaper company. And then he kind of subcontracted some of the work to me. So at about the age of 10, I started working and earning money.
Right.
And then I just loved it. I loved having my own money and being able to do whatever I was going to do. And so that turned, that just kept going for me. I started like cleaning people's houses and washing their cars and doing all these things. But about the age of 13, things really started to shift for me. I had some pivotal events that occurred at 13 years old. One of the first ones was my mentor, Halise Sparky Bridges.
Love Halise. Love Sparky. Love
Sparky. Shout out to Sparky. She's my surrogate mom. She's my mentor today. We're going to talk about that later, because miracles do happen, because she came back into my life.
Yes.
But when I was 13, she came to my junior high school. And she called me up on stage, and she gave me this absolutely outstanding blue ribbon that said, who I am makes a difference. Thank you for showing the ribbon. I was like, I don't have it in front of me. And she was the first person to tell me that I mattered. And she acknowledged me for just being who I was, because I think what happened to me as a young person is I started to associate my value with work and earning money.
Right.
So I think I had old beliefs, like in order to be loved, I had to be earning, I had to be working. And a lot of people have those beliefs, and actually they're baselines. They're not even aware of them. So at 13 years old, that happened. And then also my mom was selling music for a very famous music company. And I went to a performance one night. They were doing this huge gala at SeaWorld in San Diego. And before that, I was singing whenever I was around friends, and my friends would like force me to sing for a sleepover. And long story short, at the gala that night, the leader of the orchestra came to me and she said, I heard you could sing. And I said, yeah, I can. So she said, would you like to come up on stage and perform a song? And I said, sure. So I went up on stage, I sang, blew everyone's mind, including all the members of the band. And so the leader said, could you sing another song? I said, sure. I sang a second song, again, huge hit. Several weeks later, they approached me and my mom and asked if I wanted to come on the road and do backup with the orchestra.
Oh, wow.
And I started performing. I started doing lead vocals and performing every single weekend. We did between one and two gigs everywhere from like all over Los Angeles, all over San Diego, Palm Springs, Las Vegas. So every weekend I was getting in a motorhome or a musician's car and I was going to perform. Mm-hmm. So what's unique about that is I believe that at the age of 13, I started living an adult's life.
Right.
I was a teen, but I was on stage in front of thousands of people all the time. And I was leading, and I was leading people in the audience and events. And so that really shaped me. I gained this immense confidence at a very young age.
Yeah.
And I'm a Leo. It's part of my nature. So I feel comfortable in front of people and crowds.
Right.
But it really changed me. And so, yeah, at the age of 13, I entered this adult world. And so one of the other formative things that happened to me at 13 was I entered into a program. My mom's company put me in a program called PSI.
Right.
Have you heard of PSI? People Synergistically Involved.
Well, when you shared about it, then yeah. I heard about it. So yeah. Okay. So share some more.
So this was like a very, very high level program in regards to, it taught me that I had skills and I learned tools and techniques about accessing higher consciousness, problem solving. It was solution driven. I learned about my own intuition and how powerful I was as a young person. Yeah. And they also did some programming in regards to our mindset, how we think, the language that we use. So I learned all of these just, you know, tools and techniques that sometimes people go through their whole life and they never learn. And again, I was a 13-year-old in a big giant auditorium of adults.
Yep.
I don't know how I got this, but that planted seeds in me that by about the age of 15, somebody would say, "Who, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said, "Oh, self-esteem, motivation, and communication."
Excellent. I love it when I hear stories where people find their purpose and their passion early on.
Yeah.
And I found mine, but I wasn't able to articulate it early on. So when you talk about your parents and the influence they had on you, for me, it was my mom who was my first, what I now call unmentor. So my dad came back from World War II, had a bullet in Dunkirk, and came back with PTSD. And of course, hundreds of thousands of men just were not treated. And it showed up as him being a very angry man. And he took it out on my mom, who was before they got married, a professional working woman, making her own money, married late in life. I think, you know, 33 was sort of old, you know, on the shelf, you know, concerns. And obviously her biological clock was ticking too. So she married my dad and ended up having such a hard time with him and his anger. She did miscarry before she had my sister. And then we were 3 years apart. So by the time I was born, she was actually quite, she was 42. So we didn't have that same strong connection because we were so far apart in age. But also because he literally drained the dignity right out of her with his anger, his constant criticism of her abilities. And then he took the car keys and took away her freedom. He, you know, really took her voice, literally took her voice. And that was what I watched growing up. And I swore that I was never going to be in that spot. And then he turned on me when I was 11 as well, going into high school. And an event where I failed an exam, I flunked it by 2 marks, and he opened up the envelope all excited, and then his eyes went black, and he just literally screamed at me, "You failed! You will never ever be successful in life!" And he stormed out and shredded the letter.
I'm so sorry.
And I'm like, I mean, it had the same effect on me too, where I, you know, part of my early teens, I lost my voice, and And I wasn't speaking up in high school, and then, you know, found that later on in life because I had put a shield up to protect myself from his angry words. And I ended up hiding behind that shield until I was about 45, Stephanie, and then finally realizing that I was keeping myself small behind the shield as well as keeping other people out. And it was time for something different. So while I'd had a very successful career during that time, it did impact me. And that was when I really stepped into my power of using language and communications as the focus for the work that I do to help other women never get in that spot where they can't feel like they can speak up and articulate what they want and ask for what they want and get it. So that's the essence of the work I do today. So interesting how our paths shape us, isn't it?
And we do share similar backgrounds. I love the term you used, unmentor.
Yeah.
I think my parents went through tremendous difficulty, and you and I share similar pasts. I think one of the things that's helped me be very successful today is that I, because of my father's power and the way he expressed himself to me, I don't have a lot of fear. I'm not afraid of powerful men or situations, or, you know, a lot of times people don't necessarily know if they're worthy enough for certain things, or they're afraid. Most people walk around with baselines of fear that they're not even aware of, mm-hmm. unless they've done some kind of work from their young adult life.
Yep.
And so I thank my father for, I guess if I were to say thank you for some of the difficulty I experienced having him as a dad, it would be that I became incredibly courageous,
mm-hmm.
and that I was just, I had no fear of anyone or anything. And actually, to this day, I have been able to coach one of my greatest clients was an Olympian. Mm-hmm. And he actually came to me because his staff, he had a small team of experts at his company, and his company was flourishing. And the staff came to him and said that if he didn't get some kind of coaching or assistance and kind of learn to corral himself, that they were all going to leave.
Yeah. Emotional intelligence for leaders is a huge topic.
Yeah. We worked together for 8 years, several times a week. And again, he was one of the most powerful, one of the brightest, one of the wealthiest men to this day that I've ever known. Mm-hmm. And I never could have worked with him had I not been raised by a man like my father, because he was intimidating, but not to me.
Yeah.
But he was intimidating. So, you know, you can always look at, and I like you said, what did you say about the title of the show?
Oh, I called it irrepressible optimism.
Irrepressible optimism. So yeah. I have been accused of like Pollyanna-ism throughout right. my life. I mean, even my former husband, before we were divorced, one of the last things he said to me is, he said, "Stephanie, you're on a totally different plane." And I said, "Thank you. I'm so grateful." And that is the best gift that you could give me, is to understand, yes, I am on a totally different plane, and that plane is way up here. I'm not down here.
I think that because of that ability, we've both been naturally drawn to coaching.
Yeah.
Obviously, if we have that belief, and it's, you know, hardcore belief that anything is possible, transformation and change is possible. First step, awareness, right? If you don't realize what the impact is of what you're currently doing, or your current behavior, or how you're interacting with people, then there will be no change, right? If there is no change, there is no change.
Exactly. So
awareness, first point. And then once we have that belief, the only trick, of course, in coaching is we can't want it more than the person themselves wants it.
Exactly.
So how do we hold space for that person to themselves be, you know, nurtured along, pulled along? Depends on, you know, the speed they want to go and how our programs work. But for me, it's more about nurturing, gentle nurturing, to say, okay, you can do this. And if you approach it this way and this way, you know, you've got some options, which one's going to work for you. So they're making the decision. However, they're being guided. And obviously, you know, best practices I can speak to from the past 30 years of business and I say 8 startups, et cetera, corporate, yes, entrepreneur, et cetera. But it's so interesting how those early life things flavor us and what we bring to our clients. I too was an entrepreneur early at 6 when the lady down the road ended up having a broken ankle. And I used to see her elderly lady walking her little chihuahuas every day past my house to go to the park. And then she stopped going past and it's like, uh-oh, I hope nothing's happened to her. So I knocked on her door and she came with the plaster on her ankle. And I said, oh, you know, your poor dogs, they're not getting out. Would you like me to walk them for you?
Oh.
How much would you charge? She said, my first gig, I said, 6 pence.
I love it.
She said, great, let's start. When can you do it? I said, well, I could start like now. And so that was my first gig that fell in my lap. And after that, same thing as you experienced, once you get sort of bitten by the bug of earning your own money, pocket money that you get from your parents is like this, and your ability to earn your own is so much bigger that it carried me on into, you know, doing a paper route at 11, doing a store role at 12, by 13, I was the assistant manager, et cetera. Yeah. So those early experiences where our life is expanded, you know, yours went on the academic track, mine went on the experiential track. And I did not want to go back to school because I'd had such a bad experience where I was so shy because of what my dad's criticisms included that I didn't speak up. And people thought I was a bit of a snob because I wasn't interacting with people. And I was just like shy, stepping back. And it wasn't that I didn't want to interact with people. So I had a bit of a different, you know, early adulthood as you did. But I love what you're now bringing together with your experiences stepping into HeartMath. And there's obviously some interesting things that have compelled you to writing your book. So Yes First, it's called Taking Action in Uncertain Times. What compelled you to write that?
Well, Yes First is somewhat of an ode to my life, I would say. I guess part of my optimism led me to, I was always being, so there's a quote, my life is a performance of which I was never given a chance to rehearse.
Mm.
And that's been a theme for my life. It seems that when opportunity has come and knocked on my door, it's always been about 3 sizes too big. And I always say to, or somebody like throwing me into the deep end and mm-hmm. me and then saying, okay, learn how to swim.
Right.
And so it's always been me somehow figuring it out in real time.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening, what needs to be done. And then also learning that it's okay. Because I feel like in this book, we've just come through an extremely difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my observation that the way we've done things in the past aren't really working anymore.
Nope.
We're like not a returning. Magic wand. And my wand used to work, Marianne Williamson says. So yeah. The way we've done things in the past is not working anymore. I don't care who is saying that. It's just everything's changed. So that's part of this too. And then who we've been. So who we were 2 years ago is so different than who we are today.
Yes.
For me, even who I was 2 months ago is very, very different than who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is something that no one can deny. And so we're all in a place, you know, my daughter is in college. She just went to, she's in her freshman year, and she just contacted me this week and she said, you know, Mom, I'm really still keep finding myself in this place of not knowing who I am and wondering who I am. And I just said, my darling, all of us are in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, I was talking to Sparky yesterday my mentor yesterday. And even with this, the launch of my new book that's happening, I am becoming something I've never been before.
Of course.
And so I don't know what that means yet. I don't know what that is. Again, it's something three sizes too big for me. And I'm sitting here and I'm putting it on and I'm diving in the deep end and I'm wearing so many new hats and I'm doing all these things I've never done before.
Yep.
And so this is what it's about. So my book is a coaching guidebook series. I actually wrote a big book, 52 Weeks to Becoming Conscious and Carefree is done. It was taking too long.
Right.
And it was too arduous. It was big. And I keep hearing from my mentors and from all the people that I know that are experts in this field. And they say that we can only really take in a certain amount of information at a time and actually put it to use and apply it. So I took my big book and I broke it down into increments, into volumes.
Right.
So this book only has a certain number of chapters, a small number of chapters. And while a book is not a substitute for a coach like you and I, or a mastermind group that somebody participates on a regular basis, it's meant to bring similar results.
Yes.
And so I take people through a series of five or six principles that I have learned that are absolutely essential to living a great life, to living a conscious and carefree life.
Yes.
And at the end of each chapter, I ask a certain number of questions, a few questions. I help extract my reader's genius, and then I help them to put them into action and help them to apply that genius. And so this is like when I can't be with my clients or I can't be with people, I'm hoping to be able to touch people all over the world. And I'm also, part of my vision for this book is having it be a book club book.
Right.
Where, you know, usually people are reading novels and they're discussing things that may not apply to them. They, you know, fantasy. And so this is, my concept is about us all taking interest in transformation and then allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and have the experience of doing it together.
Yeah. Well, book clubs, actually, I had brought forward my book as the first of my book club series, and it worked really well because obviously a lot of the people that were coming to the event were already purchasers and had read through the book already. My book is 8 chapters, and with the last one being when no words are even required. So the first chapter is all about language and, you know, 40 different words and word concepts with action items at the end of every word. So help embed the learning and, you know, move the needle with neuroplasticity. And the last chapter is about things like, you know, how do you show up so that you've got your seat at the table and you're not the one that people are asking to bring coffee, because your air of authority is so clear that they know right away who's leading the meeting and how you articulate that, how you use silence more powerfully, you know, how you make decisions. A lot of it is nothing to do with language, but it's tips and things I've picked up over the past 30 years in business that have worked really well for my clients. I love the fact that Sparky is coming full circle. So I was introduced to the concept of, you know, who I am makes a difference through my coach, Susie Carter, and met Halise. And I love this concept because, you know, when I first got connected with her, I think she had hundreds of thousands, but now it's a much bigger group that she's impacting globally. And this amazing little blue ribbon might seem like a small thing, but it has saved so many people. In their lives, because they feel heard and they feel valued. And she has a very unique way. We'll have to do that in another conversation.
Definitely.
She has a very unique way. There's a whole ceremony around how you give someone a blue ribbon. So it really is special. You don't just sort of throw it at them. You are talking about it. It's powerful.
I want to tell you also, you know, sometimes we go through life and we wonder if we're in the right place or not. And that happens occasionally. And so I told you in the beginning how Sparky came to my junior high school,
right?
1984, 1983. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I was working with a wonderful woman, Amanda Marie Masters, who has the Awake TV network. I had a show on her network. And she and I were doing business together. And we had a lunch meeting and she said, you know what, before we get started, I have something that I want to give you. And I was like, oh, okay. So she turned around, she reached inside her purse and she pulled out the blue ribbon. Mm-hmm. And I started shaking and I started crying. It was kind of like an episode of This Is Your Life.
Yes.
It was so bizarre. I was looking around. I go, what's going on? She goes, it was like a Twilight Zone moment.
Yeah.
And I said, what's going on? And she said, do you know what this is? And I said, yes, I know what this is. And I said, is it her? And she said, it's Sparky. And I said, who is Sparky? Is it Halise? She goes, Halise Bridges. And I said, yes. Yep. She goes, yes, it's her. I go, is she alive? She says, yes. And I mean, I was just crying and shaking. And I said, I have to see her. I have to meet her. And within weeks, I walked into Amanda's birthday party and she was sitting at the table. I recognized her.
Yeah.
I walked over to her. I took her hands. I didn't even say anything. I sat down and I just said, boy, do I have a story for you.
Yeah.
And after then we cried together and we hugged and both of us were writing our books. And she said, I think we have a lot to teach each other. And I said, me too.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, you know, every 2 weeks we meet together. We walk on the beach together. We do like a download. Beautiful. We have breakfast. And again, life is magical when we are, when we're in a place of receiving and we're in present time. We get messages and we get hits all day long. And that's something else I really wanted to talk about today, how important it is that we're, you know, in that receiving mode and how we do that.
Yeah. Well, we each have our different ways of doing it. I am a student with Jennifer Huff. So, I mean, there's a lot of work as far as the physics that goes behind, you know, what many people think of only as, you know, law of attraction. There's a lot more to it than that. Mm-hmm. Certainly the daily gratitude, daily ritual that I have of, you know, doing my own grounding first, you know, that's part of how I wrote my book. And it was almost like a download coming through me, you know, to be up at 5, to be doing my gratitudes, my journaling, my Holosync recordings, visualizations, doing that piece for the first 30 minutes and then writing for an hour while all of my, you know, my house was sleeping, got the book written in 9 months. I think yours took a lot. You've had the whole segment and the bigger book, but it was almost like the words that needed to be in there just flowed through me. No writer's block, because it was divinely gifted. And so I can claim myself as the author, but really I think I'm the host. And when we look at it like that, life opens up in a whole new way, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's, you know, I had a lot of mentors along the way that taught me this. But just really in the last few years, I kind of made a commitment to myself, because I'm a giver. I've always been an over giver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, giving everything away that I have, because I just want everybody to be successful and I want everybody to be happy.
Right.
But I really just, in the last couple of years, I belong to a goddess community, and the goddess community I actually was recruited into, fascinatingly enough, in 2011, about 8 months before my mother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in coincidence. And this was another one of those examples where I literally had this community of heavenly wise souls that took me in and became my family and then helped me through this process. And together we do very deep inner work.
Mm-hmm.
So if one of us has an opportunity coming up or has a great challenge, we would just declare an event and invite people to come on that topic. And we would create a workshop around it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has also been one of the greatest gifts of my life, because it allowed me to be able to step into things and to experience things and to have conversations about opportunities and possibilities and even fears. Like mm-hmm. I've been in rooms working with people who have had tremendous fears that they were working through. And then by spending that time in this deep place of, you know, reflection and conversation and expanding of what if this happened? What if it was this way instead of, you know, what people fear, which, you know, most of the time never happens.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been an enormous gift for me too, is being in a circle of people that right. have a certain belief system and that are super powerful and super successful. Dear friend of mine who's in the music industry, who's reached the highest level possible that one can reach, has been able to guide me, you know, when I've come across these bridges that we cross over, similar to the bridge that I'm crossing over right now with my book. And it's really given me the faith and the courage to not know everything. You know, this is the back to the yes first. One of the chapters is on befriending uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is too, when we don't know, just like right now, we are in uncertain times. Everything is uncertain. So how do we navigate that? Who do we need to be in order to excel right now and in uncertainty? And like you said, we have rituals that we use. We do meditation. And I think one of the most important things that we can do is to keep ourselves in alignment and really understand what that means to be in alignment. So these are some of the formulas of my success. And one of the things that I do in my mastermind groups and with my clients is I help them identify their personal formulas for success. Right. And so they get very clear. And so that's one of my magic powers, is when I hear somebody describing their personal formula, I say, that's it. That's it. That's it. And it's funny because my clients have a tendency to just run through. As a society, when we have wins, we go, yay, that was a win. And then we go on to the next thing. Yay, that was really good. It was awesome. And then we go on to the next thing. And so a lot of my very successful clients are just like marathoning through, grinding through these wins that they have on a daily basis. And so part of my job is saying, whoa, 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 whoa. What did you say you just did? And they're like, I just did this. And I'm like, wow. But, you know, how did that happen? And then they say, well, you know, and then they describe it, but they're not even realizing the skills and abilities that they have. They're not realizing what it is that's getting them from here to there. Yeah. And so part of this book also, you know, one of the chapters again is summoning greater love. We need different love than we've had before. It's my belief right now in this time. And so how do we learn to love ourselves like we never have before? And then, because everything, you know, all of our relationships are how, you know, we have a relationship with ourselves.
Right.
Right. That's really all there is. We relate to other people. We have communication. We build relationships, but it's all based on how we're feeling about ourselves. And so I've been also on a path of vulnerability for the last several years in just learning to take my mask off, even in public. And just say, you know what, I don't have all this figured out. I'm not sure how this is going to go. And allowing myself to be seen. And so I talked earlier about learning to receive in a new way. And that's my vulnerability now has allowed me to begin to receive in ways I have not been able to imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, receiving is such an important part. When I interviewed, I interviewed 13 women for my to add to my expertise in the book. In my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom: The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And one of them was Marcy Shymoff. So she was sharing from her book, Happy for No Reason, which is, you know, she gave permission to quote some of her comments in the book, and that is part of, you know, her research for her book. is, you know, when we learn to receive and we're not rushing through, you know, when someone gives you a compliment, we're not rushing through or brushing it off. Oh, no, this old thing, you know, is to actually learn how to gratefully receive. And that was one of the things that, you know, in her own research, you know, she had at that time been really successful. She had been up on stage. She just authored. She was speaking in Michigan, and she had just autographed 5,431 books, I believe is the number, and gone up to her room afterwards, a little bit tired, obviously, from the big event, flaked down on her bed, exhausted, and burst into tears. I mean, you would think that a woman who was at that level in her career of accomplishment, had a great husband, great home, all the things that she had on her to-do, you know, on her wish list, check, 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 was still unhappy. Why? Well, that was the essence of the research she needed to put her book together, Happy for No Reason. So wow. You know, there's so many interesting stories that we can draw on, some of which are our own and some are other well-known authors and transformational global leaders who've gone before. You mentioned Marianne Williamson. I was in, you know, Jack Canfield's world for a while. T. Harv Eker, I took quite a lot of his, you know, warrior camp trainings. Jane Warlow, and now working with Susie Carter. So all of these experts and transformational leaders,
yes,
are always focusing on, you know, the opportunity, the possibility, staying open to it, and the concept of failing forward. I mean, as entrepreneurs, yes, we're trying new things every day, whether COVID is around or not. Exactly. I think many entrepreneurs were primed and ready for something like COVID to happen, because we deal with uncertainty all the time. Right. We're constantly shifting and changing and expanding based on what's working, what's not. What's the next idea? What's working? What's not? And the bigger we play, the bigger we can bring along that energy for our, yes, client. So, you know, me, no, too. I have some amazing clients I'm working with this year, and happy to watch them expand and grow through. I have a Flourish program. So it's about visualizing, monetizing, and then optimizing. It's three steps to help them to expand. And sometimes we have to deconstruct it because it's not working. And they come to me and they've got all these sort of dots. Like when we join the dots as kids, we've got the book, coloring book. Yes. And what I help them do is join the lines between one and two and two and three to make the picture that they can't quite grasp how they're going to get there, because most of their pages have no numbers on them. And that's exactly my superpowers, is help join the dots so it actually works.
I love that.
And then we go forward. So many similarities here.
Yes. I was just going to say also, I was talking to Sparky yesterday again about I used to tell a story. I help my clients put together the pieces of their puzzle, which is similar to connecting the dots. You know, you've got a piece over here, a piece over here, a piece over here, a piece over here. And then I'll say, well, this one goes here. And they go, how did you do that? And I'm like, this is part of my superpower. And then I say, this one goes over here. And where did you get that from? You told me. So I'm just very good at keeping that. But the thing is that in the past, I used to tell a story about what's the first thing you do when you put together a puzzle.
And I have that same question.
Right? And you do the outside of the box. And so the answer is that the right answer in the past was you put together, you look at the picture on the front of the box to see what you're creating. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to Sparky just yesterday about, I don't necessarily believe that's the answer anymore. I don't think there's a picture on the front of the box anymore. And this is
the picture's being downloaded.
It's being downloaded
in
real time.
Yeah.
In flow. And that's also one of my chapters too, is identifying our flow triggers. But I just had this epiphany yesterday, and it was like, there is no picture on the front of the box anymore. We are creating in real time. And that was a powerful aha for me, because it just shows how times are changing and how we've changed.
Yep.
And so, again, it takes a certain amount of courage. Part of Yes First, too, is not being able to taking the first step when you can't see the whole staircase, right? Mm-hmm. Or jumping before you know that there's a net.
Yep.
And that has to do with trust.
Yep.
And the trust is something else that's changed, is the trust that we're seeking is actually inside of us.
It is.
And so it's not, it's no longer, you know, everybody's still, you know, grasping, but COVID has said, you know what? We're going to go inside. We're going to stop all the things that you took for granted before. You're not going to be able to do that anymore.
Right.
And so trust is when we are in alignment with ourselves and we're connected to ourselves and we have a relationship with ourselves. And again, this is the first and foremost thing that has to happen.
Yep. I think COVID has been sort of like the great leveler, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, so many people were measuring their day by how much they're earning. And when life got tipped upside down, it really put the emphasis back on, you know, what's really important in life and what happens when something gets, you know, feels like the rug's being pulled out from under you.
Yes.
You know, how resilient are you? And how quickly are you going to bounce back? How are you going to adapt? How are you going to step into a new flow quickly? And as I mentioned earlier, I think as entrepreneurs, we're kind of ahead of the game in that because we don't look at it as life has done something to us, but you know, what's opening up for us and what's the opportunity that this brings? I mean, I've been working from home, working with clients, you know, all over the place, different parts of the world, for many, many years. So hopping on Zoom was new for a lot of people. Nope, been there, done that, right? Using Zoom rooms, using the technology to get the message out. Yeah, that wasn't new, but we're all playing at different levels and there's always room to expand and grow if we're willing to, you know, fail forwards and step in and say, look, I don't know how I'm doing this either. But I think that that willingness to add the vulnerability piece is a gift. I mean, a lot of times when I'm on, you know, mastermind calls, I'm the one in tears. and I always get a comment afterwards, you know, thank you for showing up in your vulnerability. It was like, well, I couldn't help it. The tears just came because it's just emotion that's flowing, right? It's energy in motion. And if you're static, then that's where you get like a pond that is stagnant and cloudy and stinky water because it's not moving, it's not in flow, it's not got that energy behind it. So I love hearing these stories where there's a starting point and then there's a middle point and there's massive expansion and there's growth and there's an impact. So you talked about befriending uncertainty. We talked about you know, the compulsion for writing the book. You mentioned about a formula. So let's touch on, you know, is there a formula for getting what you want? What are your beliefs around that?
So again, in regards to getting what you want, we've been taught as a society, my background's in sociology. Mm-hmm. So, and I've always understood, you know, initially I went into psychology and psychology was problem focused. And
yep.
I couldn't stand that. And I'm solution focused. And so that drove me towards sociology. But it's that when something is, instead of that things are happening to us, you know, like when something happens and it happens to us, we can shift our perception into what's trying to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What is coming through? And yep. again, that takes presence because we have to be able to be in the moment. And like you said, we have to be able to observe that something else is trying to happen. So right. In our society, we've been taught to complain. I was taught to complain. I was very good at being able to get what I want through the art of complaining about something. This is what I learned from my parents. It was, you know, my parents are from New York and, you know, just... I think also as a society, we're taught to look at what's wrong and then we complain about it and we're upset about it. Like, you know, if I asked you, when was the last time you had a horrible day? You could not only identify the day, but you knew who was with you and what you were wearing and you could tell me incrementally. Mm-hmm. But if I ask you what was right or what was happening right, you would kind of go, you know, it would be difficult. We have difficulty recalling what's going right.
That sounds so, like my weekend. yesterday at the hospital, the day before a birthday party.
I'm so sorry.
I can describe it.
You can't see in detail. We get what we ask for. And when we really understand that particular statement, we get what we ask for. My dear friend says, behind every complaint, there is a request. And so what is the request? Mm-hmm. And so asking for what you want is when you have a complaint or you have something that's not working, then you pause and you ask yourself, well, what do I want? Yeah. What would I like to see happen here?
Yeah.
And then you describe it. You can journal about it. You can ask for it. It's this concept, you know, again, my rock star friend said to me, you know, Stephanie, I love, you're all about the big ask. You just go for it because you get what you ask for.
Yep.
And so again,
what's the worst thing that can happen?
They say no.
They say no. So you're right. Exactly the same place as you were before you asked.
Exactly.
Right. So, or there's a 50% chance that you'll get it. And if you use some of the content in my book, it's more than a 50% chance.
And I was just going to say, it's more like 90.
Yeah.
So that's been, again, the story of my life and why I wrote this chapter. And because I have been a person who's been courageous in asking for what I want. And I don't know, 90% of the time I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it is about formulating the request. And keeping ourselves out of the complaint. And I had the owner of the company that I did motivational work, coaching work for years ago. If somebody had a complaint, if one of the staff had a complaint, he'd say, happy to help you, but please come with 3 solutions. So when you come to complain, come with 3 solutions. And that was a big learning experience for me.
Yeah.
It was really great.
Well, it's also in the corporate arena, right? I had a team of 13 at one point. Same thing, you know, don't bring me problems, bring me solutions.
Yes.
And, you know, my first question is, well, what have you tried so far? Right. And so if they hadn't tried anything, that was an indicator to me that I was being a bottleneck because they were not trusting themselves to come up with a creative few solutions. They were wanting to come to me for approval on something first.
Right.
So I was creating bottleneck in my staff. So by reversing it and asking them, you know, what are you willing to take on? What are you willing to try? What have you tried so far? What do you think would be the best solution? What are a couple more ideas if they really were doing something that was like way out of alignment with the values of the organization? So we know from coaching, we're both professional coaches, that you know, when someone comes up with their own solution, their own idea, they're more inclined to act on it and take the learning from it because it was their idea, right? They're getting the oxytocin hit. Mm-hmm. But also, I loved what you shared a minute ago about the negative. I have a similar concept. When I talked with Michael Lossier, we had coffee and shared a little bit from his Law of Attraction book. And he has a concept called clarity through contrast. Similar idea. You have a capital T on the page above the line. You write the issue that you're dealing with. Yes. On the left side, you write what the issue is, what you're in essence complaining about that's not working. And then it becomes so much easier because you start, you know, we don't always know what we want, but we know what we don't want. So we start with what we don't want and then we flip it like a kid playing opposites. Well, if you don't want to be micromanaged, what do you want? Well, I want to have independence and I want to have freedom to make my own decisions, my own choices, whatever it might be. But it's so much easier when you've got that clarity through the contrast. That's why it's called clarity through contrast, his concept. And I thought that was worth sharing in the book because it's super powerful. I've used it a ton of times with my clients as well with his permission. So
it works.
Lots of good things. So I know that we have a free gift for the listeners. So listeners, get your pen ready. So you put together something which is a link in your Be Carefree community. Just talk a little bit about what it is and where to get it.
So this is an assessment. It's a gift. It's an assessment for, are you ready to live conscious and carefree?
Mm-hmm.
Conscious and carefree is a lifestyle. It's a way of life and it's built on 4 pillars: mindset, well-being, connection, and up-leveling, which I have identified are some of the most important in life. Mm-hmm. That everything else falls into place once you're in alignment with these categories. Right. So this is a quiz that one can take to see if they're ready to live this type of life. And okay. So it's just Be Carefree, the letter B, the word carefree.com and /I am ready.
Okay.
That's so the
B, the letter B, carefree.com/I am ready.
Beautiful. I love it. And yes, so today also my book is free on Kindle. Woo! So I'm going to give that away to all your listeners. And I would love if you would download the book. And I think you have the link as well, right? That you can post.
I do. So this is through Amazon. So you go to Amazon or HTTPS /Amazon. So AMZN.T/3T2T. And I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Perfect.
So there is lots of opportunity to find out more about Stephanie's book. And if they searched on Stephanie, S-T-E-F, like Fred, A-N-I-E, Dumont, D-U-M-O-N-T, and do a search on Amazon, you'll see the book.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. First Taking Action in Uncertain Times, Stephanie Dumont. Yes. I'm so excited.
Excellent. Woohoo.
Beginning.
If you're curious, as you've been listening to the show, you know, we've shared some deep concepts gathered over, well, Stephanie's, I'm not sure exactly how many years, my 30 years in business, at least 20 by the sound of it. So you've got over 50 years of wisdom being shared in this show. You can also go to my website, https://yvonnesilva.com, to learn more about the book. I mentioned Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, and how to pick that up. It's available through Amazon, excuse me, as an ebook, a physical book, and also on audiobook through AwSound. And there's some special gifts being offered. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, Yvonne E.L. Silva, and also through Facebook, Twitter, and a little bit on Instagram. So feel free to connect, stay connected with myself, stay connected with Stephanie, because we want to hear what happens when the book launches. I have a good feeling that it's going to hit bestseller, maybe even international bestseller overnight, as my book did. And I'm happy and thrilled to be supporting you on this very special day as this book launches. Yes, First, Taking Action in Uncertain Times. Sounds like an amazing read. I'm excited for you.
Thank you, Yvonne. What a pleasure to be here today. It's so special on this most important day. Again, this is a new trajectory that I'm just thrilled to embark upon.
Yeah. Well, I think when we're working at this elevated level of consciousness, of awareness, of helping others and making an impact and making a difference, this is where we hang out, right? We hang out with people who are on the same trajectory as ourselves. So tune in again to the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show coming up in a couple of weeks. It's also always airing at noon Mountain Time. Stay in touch with Stephanie. Learn more about her and her work. Stay in touch with me. And I am wishing you all a beautiful day. Have an amazing day today. And don't forget to pick up your copy of Stephanie's free gift and a copy of her new book. And also the fact that it's on Kindle for free right now. And then also pick up a copy for Mother's Day for yourself or for a friend or a group of friends or for your book club. Of Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. Have a beautiful day, everybody.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Thank you. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye.